all the time.
My
brothers and sisters, at this moment in history, when certain landmarks of our civilization lose their relevance, when our society doubts itself, when the fear of the future accentuates withdrawal into oneself, the word of Jesus in this evening resounds beyond the centuries. And this is Jesus' word today in this evening. Woman, woman, you are set free of your infirmity. You are set free of your infirmity. The word of Jesus in this gospel, if you pay attention, provokes the indignation of the leader of the synagogue, who replied to Jesus and said to the crowd, I quote, "There are 6 days when work should be done. Come on those days to be cured and not on the Sabbath." The leader of the synagogue, for me, when I was getting into the gospel, looked for me indignant at the fact that Jesus lay his hand on her, that means the woman, and she at once, that means immediately, stood up straight and glorified God. The leader of the synagogue shows there his lack of faith in the word of Jesus. And then the question that I want to you to take in consideration and to reflect on it is, do we have faith in the word of Jesus? Do we have faith in the word of Jesus? The word of Jesus, let me tell you, are saving words, liberating words. There are words of life. And then this scene of the gospel inaugurates many other scenes of the gospel that are suspended from the word of Jesus. Let me remind you, if you have a kind of a good history or good memory about the gospel, some facts. To this purifier leper, Jesus said, I quote, "I want him to be purified." And the purifier leper reintegrated his own. To a person possessed, Jesus said, "Shut up, silence, get out of this man." And the devil came out of this possessed man. "Get up, take your stretcher and walk," he said to another. And immediately the man to recover his health. "Young man, I command you, rise up." And the widow's son, who has died, stood up and began to speak. Tonight, in this evening, in this room, in the gospel we have read, he said to this woman who had been infirm for more than 18 years, "Woman, you are set free of your infirmity." Today, you hear as well on you the same words of life, the same words of love, the same liberating and powerful word of Jesus. This gospel, let me tell you, has been proclaimed for you as well. But now, if Jesus is moved into his womb, at the sight of the sick and all those who are burdened with many infirmities, he is nevertheless very respectful of each one of us and also respectful of our freedom. I want to emphasize again, Jesus is moved with pity, with consideration, at the sight of the sick and those who burden many infirmities, but also he is very respectful of each one of us and also of our freedom. Let me remind you some facts in the gospel. To the blind Bartimaeus, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus encouraged him to say a word that corresponds profoundly to what he hopes. To the disciples who were making their way to Emmaus, he makes them confess their sadness and their confusion that was deep in their hearts before revealing them themselves. It is, in fact, the whole Bible, which is rich in the words of life, when from the first word of Genesis, God says, I quote, let the earth produce living beings. He say again in the book of Genesis, let's make man in our own image and likeness. And he say again, men and women, he created them as his image. The word of God, finally, let me tell you, is creative. The word of God is respectful. The word of God is a saving, is liberating. That's why I said to you again, I ask you, do you have a faith in the word of Jesus?
Yes.
Say, take this in account, that today he said to you, Louis, Dan, Margarita, Philip, Donald, Mary, Melanie, you are set free of your infirmity. And he knows how many infirmities we have. They are not only physical, also spiritual, emotional. And also we have those we have from the origin of our families. And that's what also we come today for the healing of our family tree. Jesus then healed the sick. Jesus healed the sick. The gospel of today presents us Jesus in action. He travels to cities and villages, healing the sick and expelling the devil. Jesus sees the urgency to help these people. He put himself at their service by forgetting himself. His mission was to restore the sick, the health of the body and the soul. He tried to restore in soul what is lost because of sin. That's why at the beginning of this liturgy, we started with a long confiteor, a long time asking God the forgiveness, looking back from our childhood up to this moment of our life. Sometimes we complain with many issues, but also don't look back and to see what happened in our childhood. We are still carrying in our life many, many sins, many wounds, and sometimes we don't take care of them. And tonight, if you come aware about that, it's time for you also to look for the healing with a specialist, with your doctor, and also with the great physician, who is Jesus, to heal all these wounds. And so, I tell you, whoever approached Jesus, experimented as a new creation of their body and soul. These people experimented the Christ touching through the grace of healing. That's why we must forget ourselves. That means our concern to approach Christ and renew our life. Every day is necessary to approach the source of life in order to chase away the routine, the tiredness, and also the sin. Today, touching Jesus as he was 2,000 years ago is less about physically touching him with his clothes, but we can do it much more with our faith. Today we have the same opportunity to touch Jesus as the crowd that follow him in Palestine. We have many ways of touching Jesus. Let me remind you these ways. We have the supernatural presence of God in our soul through the sacramental grace and the comforting presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Today, you are about to touch the fringe of his clothes. You are about to come closer to him. He will allow you to touch him. He will extend his ear to hear all your concerns. He will open his heart for you. He will close you, he'll call you close to the cross, and he's going to overflow his blood and water over you to fill you with his presence. But do you believe that all of this is possible tonight and all day in every Holy Eucharist? So my brother, let us listen to the gospel. It says clearly, all those who touch him were saved by him. The way to touch him is through prayer, meditation, diligent contact with him in the sacrament, especially the sacrament of reconciliation. But now, if in the dark days of life, doubt and sadness creeps in, if some reference point is lacking, we can take up Peter's words and say to the Lord, to whom can we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. To whom else we can go? Only you, God, can give us the response. That's why we came here in this room, like bakers, with our hand extended to him, with our hearts open. It's not Father Louis, Father Dan, who's going to make stuff happen here. We are here to be used. And the only condition to have is the same faith like those in this time of Jesus who were looking for him, believing in the saving power of the word of the Lord and having their hearts always open to the grace of God. The power of God's words and the openness of your heart, the two conditions that today something can happen in your life. Amen?
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 Amen.
Yes, we believe the Lord is himself the word. He is the word made flesh who calls us to life and happiness. That's why we turn to his mother and ask him for intercession. And together we say, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and the hour of our death. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God is good
all the time.
All the time.